Bung Bung. ClayMcMathComedy.com for all my dates and deliveries, man. If you want some Welcome to the Potty merch, go to ClayMcMathComedy.com and find the store page on the website. You can get all the Clay McMath Comedy merch, all the Welcome to the Potty merch you need. You're going to love it. ClayMcMathComedy.com to support the show. And if you share the show in any capacity, whether that's a story, a post, a text, a conversation, as long as you can prove that you shared it, DM it to us, and you instantly enter the draw to win some free merch each month. You can enter as many times as you want per month, starting at the first of the month, ending at the end of the month, 28th, 30th, 31st. As many times as you want, share it, prove it, you enter the draw. ClayMcMathComedy.com. Free merch for sharing. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Welcome to the Potty is also brought to you by BungBungCoffee.com. And BungBungCoffee, it'll do things to you that you've never experienced before, man. Have you ever had a problem accessing your vocabulary? BungBungCoffee.com, that'll fix you up. Have you ever had a problem reverse parallel parking? BungBungCoffee.com, that'll sort you out. Have you ever had a problem with your in-laws? BungBungCoffee.com will poison those motherfuckers, man. And it's not poisonous, man. It's the best modern dark roast you can get. It's from Honduras, Peru, Brazil, and Colombia. Those are the four number one. Those are the four number one coffee countries in the world. So if you want that good coffee, you go to bungbungcoffee.com and you enter promo code POTTY, that's P-O-D-D-Y, P-O-D-D-Y, you get 15% off all orders at bungbungcoffee.com. And that is Bung Bung Coffee, the best modern dark roast in the world, delivered to your door. Bungbungcoffee.com, enter promo code POTTY, P-O-D-D-Y, for 15% off all orders. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Potty. Best show on the internet, ask anybody. You know it's easy money, sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the Potty. Blackout in the booth, every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby, tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Potty.
Welcome to the Potty, Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman. Because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PR of podcasting, the captain, the Chevy Chase of podcasting. I'm here with the Joel McHale of podcasting. Boardman's back in the booth.
How you going, dude?
I'm good, man. And you picked the movie this week based on the fact that you've been watching Community lately and you wanted to catch up on your Chevy Chase catalogue?
Kinda. Hunter'd been wanting to go to like the Moonlight Cinemas for a while. So I said, all right, we'll do it. So I just jumped online, checked to see what was on, saw National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase and thought this would be a good history lesson for her.
Yeah, beautiful. I went to the Moonlight Cinemas in Adelaide twice. I went to the one at the Botanic Park. It was a spy movie. Brad Pitt, and I think the woman, the Leo's love interest in Inception. I can't remember her name because she's not like a mainstream actor really. But those two are in a spy movie, and I saw that on a Tinder date. Which that date went well. We went on a second date and ended up, we went out for pizza to like a nice pizza joint. Not, it wasn't at Domino's, but we went out for pizza and we got back to her place and I gave her a peck on the lips and that wasn't enough for her. It seems she blew smoke at me. She was pissed. But the whole reason I didn't want to go too far with her was because the whole second date she's talking about, I'm going to move to Brisbane. I'm out of here. This and that. And so I was like, okay, no future. So I was like, why would I take advantage of this beautiful woman's body? And, you know, I think all women are beautiful, even the ugly ones. And I think that all women should make more money than us. And I was thinking that I shouldn't take advantage of this woman if she's leaving. I don't want to give her the wrong message. She's spitting chips at me. And I come to find out later at the next basketball training I had, one of my teammates says, oh, how's you and, you know, what's her face? And I was like, and he actually said the wrong name. So I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And he was like, you know, what's her face? And I was like, oh my God, how do you know about that? And he was like, my girlfriend is her housemate. And he's like, yeah, she hates you. She thinks you're a real piece of shit. And I was like, what do you mean, man? Like, this is the most gentlemanly shit I've ever done. She's leaving. I could just bang her, you know, lights out for a couple of weeks. And I didn't. I was like, let's leave the emotions out of this whole situation and the physicality. And, you know, you can never win. You can never win. Yeah. Nice guys finish last, they say. Anyway, how are you going?
I think they're right. Yeah, no, I'm all good, man. I'm all good.
Good, good.
It's been a couple of weeks. It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah, we had to do a double app. We had to do a double app because I had a couple gigs.
Yeah, fill us in. How'd that all go?
Man, the Thursday night went good.
And this was the Cooper's Ale House?
Yeah, that was the Adelaide gig. That went really good. That was fun, really fun. The mic died and Justin was the only one who had to deal with that. We replaced the batteries and that still didn't work. And so he had to just yell. And he fucking murdered, man. He fucking best set of the night. So shout out to Justin, man. Absolutely killed. Then I went to Kangaroo Island with some different comics, Mike Klimczak and Fabian Clark, who I'd never, like, I'd gigged with before, like, you know, line up gigs, 5 minutes each, blah, 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 whatever. It is what it is. No one gives a fuck. But this was like, I emceed those two double headline, 40 minutes each. And it was a banging show, man. Everyone did well. But the show wasn't the standout of the night, man. There was shit happening. Soon as the show ends, like, it's all my gear and stuff. So, like, I feel bad. And I shouldn't, because I put the show on. I should be delegating, you know, tasks. Mm. You do this. You pack the lights up. You pack up the speakers. You do this. But I'm just like, no, go get a drink. Oh, sorry. So I'm packing up. So I miss the most of this, the start of this interaction. But I come out, and there's this broad, and she's out there, and she's fuck-eyed, okay?
Yeah.
Done for. And she, when I walk out there, she's just like, yeah, fucking, what was her name? Bobby Lou. I won't say her last name, but it kind of like rolled off the tongue. The whole thing rolled off the tongue, but I'm just going to say Bobby Lou for her sake before everyone starts fucking looking her up. So she's like, I'm Bobby Lou something or other. Instagram, look me up. Bobby Lou this, Bobby Lou that. And we're just like, yeah, all right, bitch. You know, like, whatever. You're fucking like one eye looking at me, one eye looking for me, you know, that type of shit. So we're just like, okay, cool. We've got a fan, whatever. One of my, like a friend of a friend who I've met a few times. So, you know, consider him probably like a decent level acquaintance. And if we maybe hung out. And this is like
a local over there.
Yeah. He lives over there. He owns a cafe over there. He's killing it. And if I catch up with him one more time, I think friendship level.
Yeah.
And we hung out a bit that night, but not to the enough of a level, I don't think. No offense. Anyway, he says, you know, location of the show, I won't say it because what he says is a bit disrespectful. He says, this place doesn't give a fuck about anyone except tourists, so we don't like to support it. They're going to close anyway. Like, they don't give a fuck. They just want to go home. And he's like, so we'll go across the road to this other pub. Which is country. Dude, have you ever been to a country pub before?
Only for like dinners and stuff like that. I've never had a proper night out in a country pub.
Yeah, so we arrived at this place at like 10 p.m.
Okay.
And this is like your like stereotypical everybody knows everybody situation. We rock up. Half the people in the pub were at the show. So we get a standing ovation when we walk in, which is pretty good for the ego. But also, as soon as everyone stops clapping, there's this pissed cunt wearing high-vis. And he's just like, fucking tall cunt, fucking tall cunt, fucking tall cunt. Right? Like, loud as fuck. And I look at him, because it was loud, but like I didn't want to give him any mind because I didn't want him to think he could come and talk to me because this is the last thing I need is this cunt in my ear. So I kind of look at him out of the side of my eye and I'm like, yeah, this cunt's fucking done for. So, I put on the show. I had these guys come over to Kangaroo Island with me. I'll get the first few rounds. So, what do you want? I order the first round and this cunt comes, you're fucking tall cunt. Yeah. I'm like, you're in high viz, bro. You know, like just giving him the most obvious thing I could.
Yeah.
And he's like, offended, bro. He's like, what, cunt? I understand that I kind of sound like I'm doing like a racist Aboriginal accent, but no, this is a white guy.
Okay.
He's just drunk.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the clarification.
He's like, what, cunt? I didn't repeat it because I was like, I don't want to start shit. I was like, yeah, I'm tall. I'm fucking tall, dude. And he's like, eh. And he just walked away, bro. So that was my first interaction in this joint. Anyway, so we're in there and this chick, Bobby Lou, something or other, she's hanging around like a bad smell. And we're all kind of joking about it and trying to move around and avoid the whole situation. Someone else walks in. And it's like, you ever seen the TV show Cheers?
Yep.
It's like when Norm walks in and the whole bar says, Norm! It's like that. Everyone's like, fucking Richo! You know? And I was like, what the fuck? I've never seen this in my life. I'm usually a fucking clever little tailor, you know? And someone walks in and everyone's like, I bet he makes no money. You know what I mean? Like, so like I've never seen this on the receiving end of that before. Yeah. So I'm just like, fuck, like this is nuts. Anyway, Bobby Lou something or other, we're trying to basically avoid her because she's doing the most and it's mad annoying. So my man Louie, he's rolling up a TaylorMade. No. TaylorMade is the you buy him made already.
Rolling up a rolly?
Yeah, he's rolling up a rolly and he says, do you want a cigarette? And, you know, 18 months ago, I would have been like, yeah, brother. But I've learned the hangovers, I just cannot. The level of hangover I get after a cigarette, one cigarette, is fucked. And if I do have one cigarette, I'll have 20 cigarettes. So I was like, no, not for me. And he looks at Bobby Lou, something or other. And he says, yeah, but do you want to fucking come outside, bro? I'm like, yeah, I do, man. We go outside and Louis, he doesn't have a cigarette lighter. So he goes and sits next to this old fella. And he says, dude, like, and the dude's smoking. He says, oh, can I get a light? Dude helps him out. And then, the guy goes, what are you guys going on tonight? Old bloke goes, got to work, dude. And you can see by the quality of this man's skin that he's probably 32, but he just works in the sun, you know? This dude looked retirement age, I reckon, easily.
Yeah, okay.
But, nah, he's probably 50, so he's probably late 50s, maybe, like not quite at retirement age, but...
But looked like he was ready for it.
Yeah. He was an older dude. And he says, what are you been doing? And this older dude says, it's our work due tonight. Work due. But he's by himself having a fag, you know? And then he goes, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I went and saw this dude at a comedy show. And he's like, oh, man. Bobby Lou's giving him some grief. He's like, oh yeah, Gobby Lou. So this bitch has a fucking reputation, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
This is before I know anything about her, just the fact that she's annoying. And then her friend, Gobby Lou's friend, is like kind of attractive. There.
Yeah.
Not here, not in the city, no offense to this
Yeah, there's levels.
Lady, even though I think all women are beautiful, even the ugly ones, she's fine, okay? She's okay. But if this bitch was trying to start a conversation with me in Adelaide, I'd be like, okay, hey, yeah. Yeah, security, you know. Anyway, in this location, she was fine, whatever. She's talking to one of the other comics. And she's, you know, I don't know what they're talking about, but Gobby Lou cannot stop cock blocking. And, like, she's just fucking, she's pissed up to her gills, man. So she's not trying to cock block. She just is. And she's like, I don't remember the other girl's name. Let's say Marianne. She's like, Marianne. You know, Marianne. She's got a, like, picture up on her phone. She's like, this is us at my wedding. She's like, what, God? The fuck are you talking about? Anyway, Marianne, this is my son. It's like, yes, Gobby Lou, I know, you know? And then it gets to this point where Marianne is saying to this other comic, she says, oh, like, yeah, this pub, like, yeah, got into a bit of trouble back in the day here. And Gobby Lou says, yeah, Marianne, remember how many guys we used to just fucking bring home and fuck from here? And she's like, we don't need to say that. Yeah. We don't need to say that. And then she just goes like, and her husband, Gobby Lou's name is like, Gobby Lou's husband's name is Sam or something, right? And she goes, remember I fucked Sam's best friend tonight?
Like, current husband?
Her current husband's best friend. Right, yeah, so her current husband's name is Sam.
Yeah,
and she goes, "Remember, I fucked Sam's best friend after a night out here, or something." And she's like, "We don't need to say that," you know. And she's like, "Yeah, but he wasn't my husband back then," you know. And it was just like, this bitch has been through this whole fucking town, you know. She's like, she's out in these streets. She is a groupie. Not a comedy groupie. I'm talking, she's just like a town groupie.
Just down for the cause.
Yeah, if you're from here, I'm going to bang it.
You don't get that nickname from like one or two weekends gone astray.
So crazy. It was so crazy to watch it happen because Louis said this shit like, yeah, Bobby Lou's giving these guys grief. And this random dude, who appeared to be random, the fact that his response kind of made it seem like they'd at least met before.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, oh yeah, Gobby Lou. And then Louis's face to just be like, yeah.
Yeah, he'd heard it before.
I was just like, this
common knowledge.
No, like, that wasn't funny to him. Means like, this bitch is a pest week after week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah. Well, you would think that was gold, but there was something that happened at this same pub that is almost incomprehensible. So that dude that called me tall cunt.
Yeah.
One of the comics that came with me, his name's Mike. And his whole thing, he wears eyeshadow. And I, this was like easily the most time I'd ever spent with Mike before. Cause I don't hang around at like local gigs. I do my set, I go home. And I mean, I've probably even locally gigged with him twice, but I know he's funny, so I brought him along. And yeah, he's always got this eyeshadow on. I don't know what the deal is, but I didn't even know it was eyeshadow. Like, no bullshit. I was just like, this cunt is either a junkie or he's tired as fuck. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I just never even think of a guy wearing eyeshadow. And so he's wearing eyeshadow when we walk into a country pub, bro. And the cunt that called me tall walks up to him and he's this far away. And he says, bro, this is nuts. This is nuts. And this is not even the punchline of the story. He says, oh, you're not gay, are you? Which in Adelaide, you're exiled, I think.
Yeah.
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 No. Oh. So this dude says to him, you're not gay, are you? And Mike, on some fucking action hero shit, says, suck my cock and see if I smile.
Dude, that's so quick.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. And this cunt, these fucking Hy-Vis cunt, his head almost fucking explodes, bro. He just can't even comprehend that someone said that to him.
I can imagine.
And you could see like, I always talk about like before I go on stage, like my heart beating out of my chest. This guy's fucking gray matter was like fucking popping out of his forehead, bro. Like he couldn't figure it out. And like, I was just like, that was so fucking gangster, bro. Like, I don't think the guy talked again for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that where this part of the story kind of ended? Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the guy just kind of looked
at that down.
Like, it was fucking crazy, right? But like, it was just like the most, it was like the most action hero shit I've ever seen, man. Like, I've never seen anything in real life. Like, because also, we're in a country pub and that shit could have gone awfully wrong real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's where it was going when this part of the story started.
This fucking retard's head just exploded and that was it.
Got him!
Yeah.
Got it.
Just had nothing to come back with.
No. Because I guess my thought was like, if you say that in a country pub, like if you say you're not fucking gay, are you? You just get swung on and you've just started a fight. And just a verbal comeback probably just doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, it's probably a bit different when you're like dealing with a comedian though.
Yeah. Suck my cock and see if I smile is like, you could put that in a movie and people would watch that and roll their eyes and be like, no one would ever fucking say that, you know?
Yeah, but it's happened.
But I watched it happen. And yeah, it was crazy. So gangster, bro. Like,
yeah, I agree. If I saw that in a movie, I'd be like, no one would ever do that in real life.
You know what else I wouldn't expect someone to do in real life? Say, you're not gay, are you?
Yeah, that too.
I would more realistically expect someone to, unprompted, come up and just be like, faggot. Do you know what I mean? To come up and say, to question, you're not gay, are you? Is so... I think that is far more disrespectful than the F word that I just said. Like, oh, God, oh, we don't have to deal with your type around here, do we? You know, like. Yeah,
it's bad.
It's
bad.
It seems pretty full on. Like, I don't know. It's hard to relate to on, like, the black spectrum because, like, you're not black. Like, you can see it. But like you're not gay, are you? Like it just seems so like we don't accept you, and I need to make sure you know. Like,
yeah,
it's so foul, man. And like, because you didn't use a slur either, is like, okay. So if I am gay, I kind of can't respond aggressively because you haven't actually said a slur to me. Like, I don't know. It seems hell like smart and disrespectful at the same time. But the cunt was like, this is a bad word too, but he was retarded, bro.
Yeah, it sounds it from like everything you've detailed from your encounters with him on that night. It doesn't sound like the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah, it was just nuts, man. It was just nuts to see. It was just nuts. To be in a pub, man, like even your most local pub, you go to your local pub without any friends. No one in this city, right? Like you go to, what would yours be? Morphe or?
Maybe the Holdy.
The Holdy. You rock up the Holdy by yourself, sit there for 4 hours. You may not have someone come up to you and say, oh, Lavelle, how you going?
Yeah, probably not.
This was everyone who walked in the door. It was kind of late at the time too, so like it wasn't even people walking in the door. It was just like people walking around the bar like, oh, fucking Damo, fucking God, want to play some ball? Like, But legit, when people walked in the door, it was like, fucking Simo! Like, it was not. I've never seen it like this. I've been to small pubs before.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of my, like, closest experience to something like this. Might have been, like, Marble Bar back in year 12, I reckon.
Even then,
it felt like everyone knew everyone back then.
Yeah, but even then, like, you
heaps of randoms, but
yeah,
like,
but it was so is a club, so it's like so full that like you might know 40 people, but there's 200 people there, so
it still feels like you know everyone.
Yeah, but you're still not like every cunt that walks through the door. You're not just like celebrating.
No, I guess I've never really had an experience like that.
That was like the main thing that threw me, was just like the fact that like, one, this random cunt in the smokers area was like, yeah, fucking gobby, Luke. And then like everyone that walked in the door, they were celebrating. And then when we walked out, when they like, it was like last call. This is hilarious. They've got like a bottle shop attached to the pub, which a lot of pubs do, but that's the exit because they want you to do takeaway.
Yeah, kind of like when you're at the airport going through duty free.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what it was like. And there was just belligerent cunts and everyone's just like, oh, everyone knows this is how Sammy gets at the end of the night. You know, like it was just so fucking, and then like, I was just thinking like, these motherfuckers are in a rural area wearing high-vis, so they're probably working much harder than I work physically. Digging holes, fucking tightening bolts, whatever else, you know, men do. Doing that fucking 6 to 5 every day, working for the weekend. But when we work for the weekend, we've got options. So like, yeah, this weekend we got a wedding and we got, the next weekend we got a dinner and then we got a family catch up, or we're going bowling and we're playing golf, or we got this and that and we got the beach and we got this. These guys are like, I'm working 55 hours this week, and then on Friday I'm getting fucked up at the Queenie, and then on Saturday got to mow the lawns and then we'll go get fucked up at the Queenie, and then Sunday we'll just chill, back to work Monday. It's like so hectic, man. Because like everyone works for the weekend right now, but these cunts only have one thing to do on that weekend.
Yeah, that's just the reality of living in rural Australia.
Yeah.
Especially a place like that. Like, I know Kangaroo Island's a pretty big place. I always thought of it as being pretty small until I went there last year. It's bigger than I thought, but you're trapped.
Oh my God, it's so big and strong.
Bung Bung Coffee, big, strong flavor. Competition? I don't think so. Bungbungcoffee.com, get yours.
Like, if you try to do anything, like, you can't do anything other than what's happening on the island unless you jump on a ferry.
Yeah.
And you're locked into ferry times.
And you are...
So much less freedom.
Yeah. And you are trapped in the sense of, like, responsibility as well. Like, there's 4 footy clubs on the island and they're not close. And if you have a piss up after the footy, you know... I don't know. I don't know how many people go to the footy. Let's say 50. So we piss up after the game, 50 people. So let's say 25 people drive home.
Yeah.
25 sober people, where are you again?
2-hour drive, other side of the island.
Yeah, motherfuckers are out there wilding, bro.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, when I say trapped, there's definitely worse places in the world to be trapped. It's a beautiful place.
It's beautiful. I love it over there. But, like, it's, like, at the end of the day, the island's whole population is, like, 4,000 or something, isn't it? I went to a school with that many people. I went to college with 4,000 people, bro. And that was concentrated to a much smaller area.
and much smaller like demographic. Like it was a bunch of for the better part, I guess, like-minded individuals. You're all kind of students, right. All like same sort of age.
Yeah. I guess there was a shared, like a level of commonality, but like demographics shifted dramatically.
Okay, commonality was, yeah, better word.
Yeah.
But like Kangaroo Island, you're splitting that 4,000 between elderly, retirees, working age, high school students, and like kids.
Yeah, and I think there was 5 or 6 Jews as well. Yeah, but it was fucking nuts. And then like we had to come home, dude. The weather, it's hard because we, you know, people listen to us in 14 countries, so not everyone knows the exact weather we're getting here in Adelaide. And it has been the last couple of weeks, like in general, we'd call it stormy weather, but the 2 days that we were in Kangaroo were like lit. The day going over wasn't too bad. The day coming back was like hectic. Like we knew it before we even went. We went to check in on the ferry over there and we were like, are you running ferries all day tomorrow? And they were like, oh, it looks like 11:30 is going to be the last one. Ours was booked at 10:30. And we were like, fuck, can we get on an earlier one? They were like, they're all booked. He's like, there's actually a couple of spots on the 5:30 ferry. I was like, nah, we're going to end up getting blind tonight. There's no way I can get fucked up, sleep for 3 hours and drive all the way, like drive an hour to the ferry.
Oh, like, it's dangerous. 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, no.
I was like, it's so dangerous. That's probably more dangerous than the actual fucking ferry, you know? And he's like, well, you can get on the standby list if you come early, like 7:30, 8:30 ferries, come, get on the standby list. So that's what we did. We came early, bang, we get on the 8:30 ferry. Bro, I'm not a boat guy. I'm not a water guy. I hate water. I'm scared of it. I respect the ocean. I don't think that I should be on it. I don't think I should be on a boat, let alone in the water. But I'm scared every time I'm on a boat that I'm going to end up in the water.
Sure you do.
And this boat was full. I don't even think the Titanic got caught in a storm, did it? I think it just hit an ice cube. Just
hit a berg.
Yeah.
Hit a big cube.
So, dude, we were about 30 meters offshore. And this boat, bro, we're on water like this, and this boat just starts going. And every time the waves hit the boat, I'm just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I just heard my car flip upside down. You know, like, because my car's on the bottom of the boat. I'm like, it's just like, bang. And I'm just like, oh, that's my car. That's my car. But I'm pretty sure, I've never seen it, but I'm pretty sure they chain them all down. They tell you to put it in park, but like you're on you're on the ocean, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen like the car bay below the ferry either. But
yeah, but I'm pretty sure they chain the cars in, but you don't see them chain them, and you also don't see them unchain them.
I wonder how they chain it.
Well, there's you can see these little. They're probably this big, and it's like lanes instead of having like the bumps in the road that you have.
Yeah.
It's like these things that are like that. And they're just like metal, like belt loops almost.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I just guess that they put chains through them and chuck them through your axles or something. But the fact that you don't hear any, like the boat's not that big that you wouldn't hear that. And like I've been one of the last ones on the boat before and I've never seen them do it. And then I've been one of the first ones after they make the announcement, go down to your car, and I've never seen them doing chains. So I don't know. I just don't think of fucking, like, I think the ocean can toss cars around. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think that, like, you can expect a parking brake to do all the work for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so.
Especially on this boat, man. And I've never, like, been actively seasick. Like, I've never puked off a boat. But for the entire trip, this was me.
Really?
Head in hands in front of two comedians. So for 1 hour, I'm listening to these cunts just roast me while I'm trying not to puke.
Was it funny?
Not to me. But then, like, we're on the drive back. One of them had his girlfriend on the whole trip as well. So he, like, when once we got to the other side of the island, they had a car, so they didn't talk. Like, it was just me and the other comedian in the car. And he was like, yeah, I was fucking scared out of my mind. But, like, I just felt like if I talk, like, the more I talked, the less I would think about it. I was like, yeah, but the more you talked, the more I wanted to vomit. But it was hectic, man. Like, it wasn't just the seasickness for fucking with me. Like, I was, like, I was having thoughts, like, I wonder if we're going to make it, like, I'd never been on water like that before, man.
Yeah, that was a really shitty day. I was pretty surprised that it still went ahead, to be honest.
Well, we heard the staff over talking. Hold on. We overheard the staff talking.
Yeah.
And they were just like, early minute, this is the last one of the day. And that we got on the 8:30. We were supposed to get on the 10:30. And they were like, yeah, we're done for the day after this one. So, yeah. It must have only got worse from there, man. And, like, the fact that, like, we were going to take the 10:30, I can only imagine how fucking rough the 10:30 would have been.
Yeah.
It was so, yeah, it was nuts. Like, I can't even, there's something, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm not scared of being on a plane, but I've been in some shaky planes, man. And just not felt the anxiety that I felt on this boat.
Interesting. I'd be way more anxious on a plane.
Have you been on
going through like heavy turbulence than a boat?
Have you ever been in heavy turbulence before?
Is that subjective?
Okay, so here's an example.
All you know is like the heaviest turbulence you've ever been through.
I got an example for you. I was on a plane, and it was in a team environment as well, which like kind of takes you out of the moment because you're like too busy talking shit about cunts. But one of these motherfuckers didn't have his belt on, and we hit turbulence. We dipped, and he fucking flew up and smacked his head on the top. Shit, and so we roasted this. I think he got a concussion for sure. And we roasted this motherfucker, and we just roasted him the whole time instead of thinking like how scary the turbulence actually was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's not to say your mind off it then.
But like that is how shaky it can get. Is like if you don't have it, that's why they tell you to always have your seatbelt on. It's not.
Right. I've never seen someone hit their head on the ceiling.
Yeah. So like I've heard comedians and like just laymans say like, "Oh, what the seatbelt's going to save you if the plane crashes?" Like, yeah, it's not. It's actually not about that. It's like about breaking your neck on the ceiling if like that happens.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind going forward.
Yeah. So yeah, it can get pretty dicey, the turbulence, but I've always been comforted by the staff on the plane.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause I know you're probably trained not to panic, but like if it's your first trip or if you've never felt turbulence like this before, you can't help it, man. You're going to be like, you know, and I'm always like, especially in international flights, I'm usually in that like big, like bulkhead area right before the toilets. So like there's usually a flight attendant sitting right opposite me and we're like looking each other in the eyes and shit. And if they're hot, it's like pretty difficult not to look at them in the eyes, you know? And yeah, I've never seen one like, with even an ounce of fear in their eyes. So, like, I'm super comforted by that.
Have you seen staff on, like, ferries and boats have fear in their eyes?
No, and that's the other thing is, like, I feel like on a boat I'm going to be fighting for my life in the water. Like, I'm going to survive the actual sinking of the ship.
Yeah.
And be freezing to death, maybe getting eaten by a shark. Whereas, like, even plane crashes, instant. Hopefully I'm done pretty quick.
Instant death. You got solace in that. Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah, I'm probably more afraid of plane incidents.
Are you more afraid of instant death?
Probably just because I'm pretty scared of death.
Would you rather fight for your life in the black ocean or just burn when you hit the ground. I'll just fucking be done instantly. You want a chance?
Look,
you want a chance with the ocean, my guy?
Not really,
because that's
I'm shit scared of the ocean.
If you want a chance with the ocean,
but just the fact that
that is the bravest shit I've ever heard.
I think just the fact that there's a chance.
I don't want a chance. I don't want it.
Okay.
The ocean freaks me out.
It's a small chance.
The last couple summers, and I don't know if this is a new shit, because I just don't remember this ever happening, bro. But like the last couple summers I've been to the beach and I've got into the water and shit, and that's, you know, whatever. Congrats.
I'm gonna hit that imaginary round of applause.
There is one on the last
page. Oh shit.
Give us a sec. Yeah, get there.
Yourself, man.
Yeah, but like the last couple of years, I've been noticing the soles of my feet have been getting nipped at.
Crabs.
Yeah, but little baby crabs, man, and that's fine. They're babies, but I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want it.
No one wants it.
I've never noticed that before the last probably 2 years.
And this is at like every beach you go to? You go on the same beach?
I did a Henley and I did a Somerton. And it happened both times. And I was like, I think I might be done.
Shit, I haven't noticed it. Maybe I haven't been out in the water enough.
I'm already hesitant. Bill Burr's got this classic joke about shark attacks. And they say, like, you know, 90% of shark attacks happen like close to shore. And he's like, yeah, that's where the people are. Right?
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know.
I believe that too.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be you fucking statistic, you know. And now I'm just getting nipped at by wildlife and shit. I'm not really sure if I need to be out here. I feel that's a warning. That's a, we know you, motherfucker. We got a taste of you. We're telling our friends. And I really want you in here. And I get that.
Yeah. I think we're kind of cut from the same cloth on this one, man. I'll go for a little, like, wade here and there, but I'm not going deep sea diving anytime soon.
I feel like Rage is always laughing at me, man, when I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck, something near me. She's like, ah. I'm like, man, white people, man, think that shit's funny, yeah, bro.
Feel different.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really not into it, man, but that's summertime, bro. But I went to the store this week. Which is usually, I go to the store, you know, every couple of days.
Okay, like grocery store.
Yeah. Oh, can I get another brewski?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, and this, I know something happened to me that you only see in rom-coms. Someone ran into me.
With a trolley or like just, yeah?
A girl, a blonde girl. She's thick.
Front on or like
bordering
side
on fat.
Or from the
She's
guy.
Bordering on fat, to be honest. She straight up ran into me with the front of her trolley.
Into your trolley or into you?
Into my body.
Okay.
And she said sorry. And she had big fake lashes on. And maybe if she didn't have the fake lashes and the leggings and shit, maybe I would have believed that was an accident. But the way she presented herself and the fact that there was no one else near me and she hit me head on made me think that this was flirtatious.
Interesting. So, how'd the rest of the interaction go? Was it just sorry and went on with your day?
I emptied her trolley right there on the floor.
Like, I kicked, took things out.
I kicked that bitch's I kicked that bitch's trolley over. And I said, "Don't you ever fucking run into me again."
I thought that's how it might have gone.
No, I looked at her. I gave her a really greasy look, and she says sorry. And she said sorry in like a flirty way. So I know what she was doing. Okay. This was a planned incident. I am always in a bad mood when I shop because everyone's always in my way, especially Asians. We'll get to them. And so I gave her a greasy look and she apologized and I acted like I couldn't hear and I continued looking at the ingredients on these sausages because Rachel won't have any preservatives. Okay. And there was preservatives in these sausages, so I put them back. And then I turn around and go the opposite direction. And after I'm looking at the sausages, I look up and now this bitch is in front of me. And now I've got to go by her and she apologizes again, a second time. She's trying to get me to talk to her.
You didn't bite?
No, that was it. I just kept it moving, bro.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah. Now, had she have been 30 kilos lighter, she was a cute big, put it that way. So if she was a small, maybe I would have at least said something. I couldn't talk to this bitch, man. I couldn't do it. And the lack of tact that she showed with the aggression.
Say she was like 30 kilos lighter on the first hit with the trolley, would that have been enough to like spark a conversation?
No, but I would have at least smiled at her and said something like, that's all right.
Okay.
But this one, I kind of did this. And sorry for the people not watching. I kind of did. Mad bitchy. Super bitchy. Like Mean Girls shit. You know, I was Lindsay Lohan. No, she was a good girl in that. I was Rachel McAdams.
She was Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Oh, so you think you're hot. You know, that's the kind of vibe I gave it. Yeah. But that was crazy, man, because I've never been like, I've seen that kind of shit in movies. And this is a movie podcast, but I've never, ever had that happen. I did have, I locked eyes with who may be the love of my life. And that's no slight to Rachel. I love Rachel so much. I locked eyes in a grocery store. Shout out to Woolworths. With who may have been the love of my life. And it was in a small town. So I was able to locate her on Instagram. Went and liked about 6 pictures of hers. And she ended up DMing me. So that's always a... I don't know if that's a strategy these days. I think that's creepy now. But back when I did that, that was like a move.
The old 6 picture like?
Yeah, I was like bang, 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 bang. Like obviously I'm interested in you. Let's see what happens. Bang, got a DM. And now we're on. And that was light work. And that was after I'm trying to think of a movie to compare this to. Dude, we didn't bump into each other, but we were coming towards each other in the same aisle. It was in the fruit and veg section, actually. It wasn't actually an aisle, but we were coming towards each other, directly at each other. And we stopped. There's about a meter difference between our carts. And we're just looking at each other. And we smile. No one grabs any vegetables. We're just looking like you and me are right now. No hormones.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. Looking like this, smiling.
Yeah.
And then I just take off.
So how do you... Sorry, you said you were living in a small town at the time.
Yeah. I'm
trying to work out how you found the gram so quick.
This was easy for me because the situation I was in is actually I had matched with one of her employees on, what was it called at the time? Tinder. And me and this girl had one or two dates. And she was a psycho. And she was talking shit about this bitch. And she's like, yeah, look at her. Show me her fucking Instagram, right? Look at this bitch. You know, she's a fucking psycho. I'm like, yeah, look at that bitch. Yeah. The baddest bitch I ever seen in my life to this day, you know? So I kind of knew her handle. So then we bumped into each other, looked at each other, and then I knew, and because I knew that I'd been talked about at work too. Right. So I knew that the like of the pics wasn't actually going to be a fully random coincidence as well. She was going to understand to some level what was going on, and it worked out perfectly. I can't even remember what I'm talking about. Oh yeah, because that bitch ran into me, that fat bitch ran into the fucking shit. Shout out to Coles, man.
Yeah.
Fat bitches only. But, that happened, man. Man, I got a lot to talk about shopping before we get to this movie, man. I've got some, like, pretty strong brand loyalty, like, in a specific area. Do you have any brand loyalty anywhere in your life that you're just like, I won't buy a different thing of this thing? I won't buy a different brand of this thing?
A few years ago, probably only got to like, I'd only wear Nike basketball shoes to actually play in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the closest I've got to brand loyalty, I reckon.
Okay. I was a big Nike. I wouldn't even say that. I've jumped around basketball shoes a lot, but underwear for me is very important. I'm huge on underwear. I like to feel the same around my Johnson every day. I don't want to feel different. I don't want to feel aroused for no reason. I don't want to feel less than aroused for no reason. I just want to feel neutral around my Johnson. I want to feel the same temperature every day. And I got to a point where the brand that I enjoy was a little bit too expensive for this one week where I desperately needed new jogs. And I'm a boxer guy. And for some reason, I thought it might be a good idea to go boxer briefs this time and just see what happens. And I'm going to name this brand. I'm going to name them. Because even if they reached out to this podcast to offer sponsorship and offer us bread to back them, I could not do it after the experience that I've had.
What is it?
You've heard of them, Tradie.
Yeah.
Have you ever worn Tradie jocks?
No, I've never worn them.
I wore these motherfuckers and I instantly thought I had an STD, bro. My dick has never been this hot, bro. My dick has never been this hot.
Yeah, interesting. I would have thought that'd be the opposite.
These motherfuckers.
Tradies work pretty hard. Wouldn't you want to like cool down a bit?
Bro, these motherfuckers were heating my dick up, bro. Hot. Hot. Like, I mean, if I get home from work, right, 6 o'clock at night, have a shower, get into some tradies. By the time I go to bed at 10 o'clock, I need another shower, bro, because my dick is so hot. I cannot fuck with a tradie jock. I know I'm used to more airflow with my boxers, and these are tidies and shit, but are you a boxer brief or a boxer man, or are you a budgie smuggler, or what are you?
Boxer brief most of the time, but do wear boxers on the weekends.
Weekends? Give yourself a treat.
Something about jeans and boxers, I just struggle with that, and I wear jeans most days to work.
Right, yeah, and there is, I will say this, there is a, and this isn't, see, this is why I don't want to name my brand specifically. There is a high turnover of boxers if you're wearing them with like tight-ish pants, right? Like a jean,
yeah.
Or like a jean in this culture where we're not skinny jeans, but we're not loose jeans.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say my jeans are loose by any means.
No, me neither. I wear I guess you'd call them chinos. They're not chinos because they're not elastic around the waist. They're pants, like, but they're not
like,
jeans.
Like chinos,
I guess. Yeah. But I get a lot of wear around the gooch area, the taint, and that's because the bottom of the jean, well, the top of the jean, I suppose, and the bottom of the boxer, all day.
Yeah.
Like this. Even though it's not touching your body. Both of them are like this all day. And there's a hole after 3 months. So I've got a lot of turnaround on my underwears. And the brand I like, that I'm loyal to, it's an expensive brand. You know, sorry, I like to be fancy in one aspect of my life. And there was a one time where I had to switch to tradies and tradies make my dick hot, bro. Like I can't reverse recommend them enough. I don't think any man should be wearing them. I think it's dangerous, actually. I am pretty sure I almost start a fire at work one day because I was walking. I park near a school. And it was like prime time, like I got to work at the wrong time. It was prime time. So I had to park like 4 blocks away. And by the time I got to work, a fire nearly started in my pants, bro, because it was so hot.
bloody shooting Flynn out.
Yeah, Doe Monty was so hot, bro. Dude, it's not fair, man. It's not fair to put men through that. I don't know why they would design them like that.
Noted, man. I won't be asking for any of those Christmas this year.
I honestly believe that the Honey Badger is Patton is sack. Because he's in those commercials and it looks like he's got a package really happening in there. And I think he's padding it. Because I think the bigger your dick is and your balls, I think the worse tradies would be.
I'm sure the bag that he's getting from them makes it all okay.
Like I said, man, I couldn't accept a bag from him. After what I've been through. I
wonder what number you change your mind at.
Wouldn't be too big, bro. Yeah. It would be actually, it would probably be like real disrespectfully small.
I wonder how much they'd have to pay you for you to like edit all of this segment out of the cast.
Heaps, heaps. Because this is rough, rugged, and raw, and you know that.
It is. Nothing gets cut out.
Yeah. Man, I got, I still got more before we get to the movie, man. Christmas shopping.
Yes, that was this morning.
Can you tell me, do you have a strategy?
No, dude, I was like 10 minutes into it and I went by myself and I just called Hannah and I was like, I hate this. I want this to be over.
Yeah.
Bought like two more gifts and then, yeah, got a haircut and left. I was just over it. So I'm going to have to go finish my shopping tomorrow or next weekend.
Are you asking motherfuckers what they want or how you?
Depends. Depends on the person. Like,
yeah. Hannah, obviously, like, you want to get her something that she definitely wants.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go wasting a gift, so I'm just like, tell me what you want.
I had a question for you. What about your mother, man? I struggle with my mother, man.
I ask mum what she wants, and it's always just, oh, nothing. You don't have to get me anything. Yeah. Or whatever. Looks like I got to work it out for myself.
Because they know, because they're, like, you know, in, they've been through it, they're, you know, likely or possibly in a better financial situation than us, they see the way we're living and they're just like, don't spend money on me. But instead of saying that, they're just like, I don't need anything. I don't need anything.
100%.
My mom does the same shit. I was like, hey, it's Christmas, bitch. I'm going to get you some, you know?
Does your mom flip the question back on you then? Or did she just like buy you presents of her own will?
Nah, she asks me. She asked me, but I'm similar. I'm like, one, I don't want more stuff.
Yeah.
But like, and I also don't want to ask for cash. Like, because I'm in debt. If I ask for cash, it would just be like, I'm going to go pay some debt. So like, I try hard to think of like, shit that I would enjoy, like a luxury, like something that I don't need, but it's also not stuff. So like, oh, get me a voucher for this restaurant or this golf course, you know, get me a casual round at this golf course or something, you know, that type of shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cause like there's literally nothing I need, man. I've got shit versions of stuff, but I've become accustomed to it.
Mm, yeah. I feel you.
Yeah.
I struggled with that one.
When
mom asked me what I wanted, I just, I had nothing.
It's so hard when you're hood rich, bro, because it's also hard to throw shit out. Like when you're hood rich, you've got everything you need, but a lot of it is bullshit. But it's like also you don't need to replace it yet.
Yeah, it's getting the job done.
So it's like so hard to like, there's tons of shit here that I could have better versions of, but I'm like also like don't need that better version. But yeah, nah, Christmas shopping's hard, man. And we went and did that shit this morning. And it, motherfuckers get real foul out there, man. People do not like to give you space at Christmas time. We went at 9 a.m., you did too. And like, it was kind of quiet when we first got to where we went. And, they just, dude, maybe I'm a bit late, but there was not the shit that I wanted. There was not the sizes that I needed. And by the time it got time to leave, it's like Do people shoot places up because of their like emotional disorders, or just because they're mad at motherfuckers for being in their way, man? Because I get it.
Don't know, man. I've never been in the mind of a bloody domestic terrorist.
No, neither, man. That was rhetorical, I'm pretty sure. That was rhetorical, but no, it's been getting out of hand, these motherfuckers, dude. And shopping centers, are car parks getting smaller?
As in, like, the parking
space?
The space. No, Australian standards been the same for a few years now.
Cars are getting bigger then.
So I think what the issue is, the standard's been the same for years, but there's been a range that it can be between. And for a long time, people were, like, allowing more than the absolute bare minimum. But now space is at a premium. So, like, new places might be having smaller parks than we're used to.
You're right.
I think car parks are getting smaller. But.
Can I make a suggestion to whoever wants to build the next shopping center? You make fat car parks, right?
Mm.
Less people can come at a time, but everyone wants to be there because their fucking car fits.
Everyone wants to be there anyway.
Sell something that matters. I don't know, man. Okay, so I'm guilty. I shop at one of the major. I mean, I think you can only shop at majors, right? There's no like small grocery store, like independent grocery stores. IGA would be the closest, and they're still major. I mean, they're Adelaide. Are they SA only, IGA?
No, I reckon they're Australia wide.
So that would be the smallest one is Australia wide, right?
Drake's.
Are they not the same?
Are they Australia wide too?
I thought. Okay.
Oh, no, they're different. IGA and Drake's are different.
Okay, so Drake's, let's say Drake's is SA only.
Yeah.
Well, they've priced everything at a fucking premium, so I don't want to go there. But, like, let's say I enter the market and I've got the same quality as, who's got the worst quality? Let's say Woolworths. They've got the highest volume, mm-hmm. the biggest, and they're just like, we can put whatever the fuck we want on the shelves because people are going to buy it, right? I go and I get the same bullshit quality as wool. If they want to sponsor us.
if they want to pay to get this segment cut out, hit us up.
Yeah. Let's get the same bullshit quality as Woolworths, but I got a better car park, right? You can fit in. You can get the fuck out of your car. You can get your kid out of the car without fucking scratching the car next to you, right? You got space. And also, it's like a kind of a smaller shop too. So instead of having 50 different types of French fries, we only get one type. So you can still get everything you need at Clayworth's. But you only get one brand choice, right? So we condense the shop, bigger car park, bigger parking spaces. You don't want to shop at Clayworth's?
I'm going Audi, brother. Wait, so are all the prices?
Hold on.
The same?
Bro, we're not talking about prices of groceries right now. This is the initial business model. Before we even write the business plan is, hey, we have everything here, less options, but everything you need at the grocery store. We shrink the actual store and we have the same amount of car parks, but they're bigger.
I mean, I guess that sounds pretty good.
No, not same amount. Same space of car parks, but bigger. So you probably got five less car parks. Okay. At the end of the day, and that's the same with air travel. We got no space. Take out five rows at the back. Mm-hmm. So what's that? Five times six is what, 30?
Yeah.
30 seats. Take out 30 seats and just fucking move everything back so everyone can fit, man.
I'm not arguing with this.
This is what I want car parks to be like. I get in a car park and I'm like this.
trying to get into your car.
Get out of it or into it, you know? Just give a man some space. And also, the population's only getting bigger, by the way. You see my kid, bro? He's 6'3".
Yeah, he's big.
He is 18 months old and 6'3", bro.
Big dude.
I don't know. Shopping's the worst, man. And I went shopping today. We both went Christmas shopping today. And I went to a place where there's like a playground where your kid can play like mid-shop. And I realized something. I told you earlier we were going to get back to Asians. And this is not racist. It is an observation I've made about a beautiful race that I love. Okay? I don't want to talk about their efficiencies. They're efficient in everything. That's why they're, you know, China's ruling the world. I know that China's not only a part of Asia, right? But China is, everyone's afraid of China. US is afraid of them. Australia is afraid of them, you know, because they're so efficient. They know how to do things. They have tiger moms that teach their kids to play the flute at a fucking concerto level. And it's so crazy that they, you know, they can't even say ours, but they say concerto, you know, like it's so nuts.
Yeah.
They know how to play the flute at an Italian level of greatness because because they force their kids to be great at whatever they're doing. And my thing is that today at the playground at the shopping center I was at, these Asian kids were having so much fun, but so efficiently that it made me uncomfortable. These motherfuckers were running and running hard. They were going up the steps, across the bridge, down the slide. Up the steps, across the bridge, down the slide. Not once, boy man, did I see these motherfuckers smile. They are having fun so efficiently that they're not even having fun doing it.
Don't have time for fun. When you're having fun, you don't have time for fun,
yeah,
bro.
Dude, it was the craziest shit I've ever seen, bro. And I thought my son was unsafe. I had to take him out of the environment, man.
I don't blame you, man. These kids having way too much fun. They're not even having
fun. Yeah, dude. It was like, you know how I'm trying to think. It's probably a similar feeling to like when you're quitting cigarettes. And like you're reading like the book that makes you feel sick. You heard of this book?
No, I never heard of it.
Okay, sidebar. There's this book. I forget what it's called. I forget who the author is. Shout out to him. It's all unsourced. It's this book that like encourages you to smoke while you're reading it. And so it'll say like this thing and that thing, step one, step two. Why don't you light up right now? And then here you go. Put it in your mouth. Light it up. Take that first drag. How does that feel? And then as you get further towards the book, as it tells you to light up, you're just like, I don't want to, you know? Yeah, like it just kind of, I don't know. I've never smoked. Well, I have, but not like addictively. So I've never had to read this book. But that's kind of what it reminded me of, is like these kids are running around, but like, they don't even enjoy it, even though they're supposed to. And that's what this book is like. This could be a joke, actually. I guess you'd have to know the book, though.
Yeah, I've never heard of this book.
I could explain it in a way. Like, have you guys heard of this book that, like, that makes you sick of smoking before you give up smoking? I've seen this in Asians or something like that. I don't know. But I think that could be it. Maybe. I don't know.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know. I've probably got more offensive jokes than that. Anyway, but yeah, I think that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like they did not smile, bro. Running. Like you would have thought they were having a great time, but this is what they look like, bro. The entire time.
Just model of efficiency.
Putting together iPhones or something. I don't know what they were doing. But hectic. Oh, I've got one more thing to talk about. And it's still kid related because it's my life now. As you know, I do swimming lessons on Fridays. And you know how it is, like when you're, you know, doing basketball training and there's a team that trains before you, so you got to get there 15 minutes early and you watch the last 15 minutes of these fucking idiots practice and then you get to go. And that's what swimming lessons is. And we're watching the last, we try to get there like small window because this kid can't, you know.
Maybe like 5 minutes or so.
Yeah. So we're watching the last 5 minutes of this swimming lesson and, you know, this is the group probably above what Kenny is. So they're probably two would probably be the minimum. They're probably 2 to 2.5 years old, maybe 2 to 3 years old even. And there's this one girl that her grandpa's in there with her. Maybe I'm snitching. I don't give a fuck. I don't know the motherfucker's name, so I can't get in trouble really. At the end of the lesson, this old dude puts this girl on the edge of the pool, which is what I do. Maybe not getting out, more getting in. I put Kenny on the edge because he likes to jump into my arms.
Yeah.
So I put him on the edge, I get in the pool, and then he jumps, and he, you know? And he puts her on the edge, but his instinct is to, like, slick his hair back and like get the water out of his eyes and shit. But as he's doing that, he like turns his back on the kid and the kid jumps in the water. And because all the other parents in the class are getting their own kids out of water, no one sees this. And like I said, this is 2-year-olds, bro. This is not swimming age kids. Mm. But me and my mum saw this shit and I'm like, I went full Leo in Gilbert Grape, bro. I was Arnie Grape or whatever that motherfucker's name was, bro. I was like, you know, I didn't know what, I couldn't figure it out because I had Kenny in my arm. Like, I like to think I wasn't in this situation, but I like to think that if I didn't have Kenny in my arms, I would have just like gone.
Jumped in, yeah.
Yeah, because like half of my body kind of like went that way and then like the other half reminded me, you know? So I like kind of went like this. I'm like, oh, there, kid. But that was enough. One guy looked at me that wasn't involved and looked at me and was like, what the fuck? And then looked down, was like, what? And he went, and he still had his kid in his arm as well. So he kind of like half-assed did a motion. Wait, as well. So
was this guy in the water?
The old man?
No, the guy with the kid in his arm.
Yeah, like he was half out of the pool.
Okay.
With his kid, but like, he also can't jump because he's got a kid in his arm.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fucking kid. This guy looks, he's like, blah, blah, kid. And then the old man turns around and takes the kid. The kid was fine, but traumatized to the fucking skull, bro. Like, I don't know if I'll ever see her at the swimming center again, man. Like, it was pretty foul. So
the kid was traumatized?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay.
Like he took her through the water and stuff and then like got out of the pool and she was fine. And then she looked over to like the spot where it happened.
Yeah.
And just lost it, bro. Done.
Poor thing.
Yeah. I reckon she's done with swimming, but like, yeah, man, it's possible that I saved a kid's life, man.
We got a round of applause. I hit the wrong one, didn't I, before?
No, you gave me a round of applause. You got it way down. Hit it again. That's whack. Give me a sensational. Can I get a sensational?
Yeah, bro.
I think that was worth a sensational. Or a wow as well.
Sensational.
Can we get a wow? Yeah. That's Kenny. That's Kenny.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Keeping the community safe.
Yeah, man. But that's basically everything that's happened. How far were you?
We've had a crack. We're at minute 15.
An hour 15?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I've had a few beers. Hour 15.
1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And we haven't done the review.
No one even knows what movie we're talking about yet.
Hit the button, bro. Let's do it.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar?
set design, directing, acting like Tinger costumes. This segment is Clay's Reviews.
Before we get started, I think I need a refill. So this week was your pick again.
Yep, so went with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. And so you've been watching Community, rewatching Community. Rewatch for you, but first time for Hannah?
Yeah, at first I thought I'd seen it all, but I think I'd only seen like the first three seasons and I kind of called it quits the first time around that
It is one of those shows as well that, as dope as it is, didn't get a lot of publicity. So like, you wouldn't just be like, oh fuck, season four is coming out. So if you like missed it, like you kind of would have just missed it.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, not that we're like reviewing Community here, but I feel like it's kind of declining. The further I get into it, it's losing its appeal.
Yeah, it was, because it was absolute fire, like those first three seasons.
First three, yeah.
I think I've got them, down there, Community. I think I've got them all on DVD maybe, or close to all of them. So you've been watching Community and Hannah didn't know much about Chevy Chase. Is that the...
No, and like, neither do I really, but I'd seen a few of the National Lampoon movies. So yeah. I knew like in his younger years, he was pretty funny.
But do you know about SNL?
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. And I guess he's like an SNL legend.
Right. I mean, I haven't seen any of his skits from that.
So I think he's probably... I mean, he's way older than Sandler, but I think he's like a couple classes before Sandler, as a regular. And like Sandler to me is like my SNL goat, I guess. Or Will Ferrell, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, that doesn't matter. But like he was like one of the fucking SNL guys. Like if you care about sketch comedy, which I'm more of a like just pure stand-up fan than that, but like if you love stand-up sketch comedy, then SNL was like your fucking thing, and that was Chevy Chase's big thing was SNL. And then I guess National Lampoon made a lot of shit. It wasn't all just Chevy Chase in it, but the Family Vacation films were huge, and this is like the second of the series. Or of the, not series, but the collection, so, I suppose.
You might know more about this than me, but National Lampoon, was that like a magazine or something?
Started as a magazine. And if you haven't seen it, you, Bored Man, but also the listeners, there's a movie on Netflix called A Futile and Stupid Gesture, which is like it's kind of a biopic, but not of a person, but of a business, I suppose. And it's about National Lampoon, and it started as a magazine and then just kept growing and then became like a brand of film, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Chevy Chase wasn't in all of them?
No, I don't believe so.
National Lampoon's Animal House, does that sound like one he was in?
I don't... Animal House... To me, Animal House is probably the greatest National Lampoon movie. And that had, I don't remember Chevy Chase being in it, but it definitely had oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Can you just, do you have some names there?
There are so many National Lampoon films.
Can you hit us with Animal House, some of the...
So from the original National Lampoon company, there was Animal House, Class Reunion, Movie Madness, Vacation.
Hit Animal House, because I just... There's just one name that's not hitting my skull right now because I had about 20 beers, but...
You want to know who's in it?
Yeah, just...
Stars John Belushi.
That's it. That's all I was looking for. John Belushi. Fucking... That's so fucking frustrating, man. Another SNL great, by the way. Anyway, let's talk about this fucking stupid Christmas movie, man.
Yeah, dude, what do I have to say about this film? Not much. I didn't take any notes during it because, as I said at the start of the pod, I went to the Twilight Cinema to watch it. So I didn't have my phone out for this one, taking notes.
But, what'd you get for snacks at the outdoor theater?
We went to what's it called? That chocolate joint on East Terrace, Centuros, is that it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, went there and got some, like, of their version of Maltesers.
Oh, nice.
So, absolutely nothing to do with the film.
You know what? Maltesers kind of look like baubles that hang from a Christmas tree.
All right, let's take that spin.
Well, I went with something very similar shape. I went with a peanut M&M, which I said looks like Christmas lights. That's why I went
colors,
with it.
Colors, yep.
Yes.
Nice.
So I think we both, I don't know if we killed it, but I think we both hit the
what's brief. It?
Brief. Yeah. Thank you. That's, and see, do you know what would happen if you weren't here? About 2.5 minutes of, hold on. It's right there. So my biggest takeaway from this film, there's not much to it. I don't want to sit here all day. That's why we sat here.
Like, you can't sit here analyzing the gags.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the perfect timing to have 2 weeks off and have 2 weeks of bullshit to talk about on top of it, because it's gagged up, no home loans. But the thing I loved about this is that National Lampoon films are historically silly, very physical. And this has that, you know, he steps on the board up in the attic, yeah. Smack, and he turns around, steps on, you know, hilarious. And then he sits up there, he's locked up there, then someone pulls it, he falls, you know, hilarious. But it's really like, it's really about... It is actually, as happy as the film is, it is actually about what everyone hates about Christmas. The pressure of getting the perfect tree. The just like, you've got your own family, your partner's family coming to your house. You don't want either of them there. The pressure of getting the perfect gift. The pressure of keeping the dream of Santa alive.
Yeah.
It's all just like, it's just...
pressure of hosting,
yeah,
Christmas Day or whatever it
it's
is.
Just like, yeah, if you don't think about it, it's just like, oh yeah, that's fun and silly, but it's actually quite a dark film, and I just like, yeah, I respect it so much for that, because like it could have easily just gone in a dumb like sort of Pink Panther direction, you know. Do you have like anything that sort of jumped out to you?
I think when you put it that way, yeah, it was just a lot of pressure, like, mounting on... What was his name?
Clark.
A lot of pressure mounting on Clark throughout the whole film. And, yeah.
To the point of a mental breakdown.
Yeah, and the breakdown was great. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, it makes sense. Dude, been through a lot. I don't really have anything insightful to say about this film. I think it was just mainly, like, all the laughs came from the gags. It was heavier than... anticipated, and you kind of broke that down already.
Mm. I liked the even the heaviness of like the work. There was there's a scene at his job where you kind of think like, oh, maybe his job's going to be like a major plot point. And I guess in the background it was, but like he never returned to the workplace. So that level of like, especially kind of this year, the last 2 years, and the cost of living crisis and stuff, it was like mad relatable in that this dude overspent, he wants to get a pool, and he's hoping on his bonus is trash, and it just breaks him down, and
what,
he snaps.
What was his bonus in the end?
A year's
like
worth
like
of
a jelly subscription.
Jelly of the Month Club, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't put a pool in, and if that's what my boss gets me, I'm going to choke him out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a shitty gift, man. Yeah. I don't know. I really related to the early in the film, the family gets to the house, and he's just obsessed with the Christmas lights. And even if my Christmas lights were running perfect, I think I would act as if there was a problem just to get the fuck out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh man, I really was feeling that shit, man.
Yeah, it was good.
What about the you said his name before, cousin
Eddie.
Do you have anyone in your life like that, or like that you can kind of relate to?
No one that jumps out, man.
Neither. I can imagine, like, I've heard of, like, I'm sure you've got friends that are just like, yeah, my fucking brother's a piece of shit, he's useless. Like, I'm sure there's people out there like that, but, like, I don't really have that in my family. But for some reason, I could relate to that character. Maybe I'm the piece of shit cousin. Yeah, I don't know, man, but... Yeah, I don't have heaps to talk about. I've talked for 2 hours already, I think. So what do you give this shit?
I gave it a 7. I think it's a Christmas film. It's comedy. For how old it is, I feel like it's kind of like stood the test of time. I was still laughing throughout the film. 7. How about you?
I gave it a 6.5. So same. All right, man. You know what it is. Welcome to Potty and Everything. I hope you made it through this episode. If you didn't, then you did, because you can still hear my voice. But you know what to do, claimingmathcomedy.com to get all my dates, deeds, and links, and bungbungcoffee.com to get that good dark roast. I love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.